Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hello, Mr. Grant, once again.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, this week, looking at the what you call the gap between the creator and the inheritors, and some problems that can happen in that gap, some misunderstandings. Are people ready to inherit? Some of these issues.
Yeah, that's right. Really, as I was preparing for this, what I wrote down as kind of a title for today's session is The Art of Blowing It.
The Art of Blowing It.
The Art of Blowing It. And so we're going to talk about some of the characteristics that an inheritor demonstrates, and what can we do at the beginning, in other words, at the creator side, to assist inheritors utilize what they're going to receive for a long period of time, and making sure that it's going to align with the creator's intent. See, that's everything about estate planning. Estate planning, if we were in court, the one thing that the judge is going to try to uphold more than any other aspect of an estate plan is, what was the intent of the creator? And so that's my job. My job is to elicit from you with questions and conversations, what picture do you have in your mind? And then I need to take that picture and I need to use my skill set to create a document that actually aligns and clearly denotes exactly what you desire. And so we want to talk today about making sure that the intent of the creator is actually passed down to the inheritors. And one of the missing educational pieces, in my opinion, is that most people really don't know what inheritors do with their money. And so that's the journey I want to take us on today.
Well, and you've got a lot of experience with this, seeing families and seeing how inheritors, as you call them, have certain common characteristics. Why don't you name some of those common characteristics of inheritors?
Yeah. The unfortunate one that is the most striking is that most inheritors have no understanding of what their parents did. So they think that there's an estate plan, or I know that there's an estate plan, but I have no idea what it says. So in other words, everything is out of the blue. It blindsides an inheritor. So therefore, one of the biggest problems is, how can someone be ready for something that they don't know about? And this is one of the big issues, is a communication gap between the creator and the inheritor, or let's call it the parents and the kids. Now, I know that not everyone has kids, and so I don't want to leave those that people group out of the equation, but I think that they can relate to anyone that they believe they would leave their inheritance to. Just fill in the gap for kids for me, okay? So between parents and kids, if there is no communication at all between, this is what our intent is, this is what the documents say. As a matter of fact, one of our last shows, we were talking about that if the kids don't know how I want to be taken care of during my lifetime, or if they don't know what my vision is with what I pass to them, then it's impossible for them to actually align to those expectations. So number one, out of the gate that I see, is that there is an educational gap between the inheritor and the plan itself. So we need a system then that begins to bridge that gap, that massive chasm that is between this communication problem, which is parents and the kids. I think that many individuals, A, either don't want to talk about estate planning, or number two, still have the ideology that maybe talking about money is taboo in some way. And so research shows that most inheritors, most children who have aging parents, it's actually their desire that they want to do what the parents want. It's not that they want to intervene and start sidestepping or just inserting their own values. So if we don't know what the parents want, it's really, really difficult, and I would say near impossible, for then the adult children to actually take care of their aging parents. And so the big first thing in what I see is a lack of education between the generations, a lack of communication, and there's a way that we can fix that. And it really starts with the attorney that you ultimately elect to help you in this journey of estate planning. If the attorney is simply asking you basic questions, in other words, let me just ask you basic questions about the kids versus more in-depth questions about their money management skills and their abilities. How is your relationship with them? Which one of the kids is going to be a problem for me? That's actually one of my favorite questions to ask clients. Which one of your kids is going to be the problem when they walk into my office?
And they usually have that figured out right away.
Oh, they know. They know. And so a lack of communication then between the creator and the attorney is going to be the starting point, which is you need to find the right attorney to actually help you in on this journey. And in my opinion, again, I do this every day, so I'm a little bit skewed in this, but in my opinion, if you don't have the right attorney, you'll never be able to get to the right plan. And so so a lot of the observations I see in inheritors are that they're simply not ready. And so therefore, they just take over with whatever they would naturally do with a lump sum of money, which is typically not very good.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, let's talk a little bit about then some of the statistics of what, and these are statistics, my experience actually backs this up almost bullseye. So in 2017, Prudential Insurance did an article that stated that 70% of inheritors will utilize every cent of an inheritance that is given to them. And that's within 2 years.
Mm.
So the average inheritance in America right now is about $177,000. That actually went up from $90,000. It used to be about $90,000, so it's going up, that the average inheritance has risen. And in 18 months, by the way, a minimum of that 18 months is probate at 6. So that means typically within 1 year, the average inheritor
has blown through that money,
has used every cent of their $177,000. So, number one, how does that set with you, creator? Is that okay with you? And, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm going to be gone. I've passed away. I'm dead. So, you know what? What they do with it is their business. Yeah, I have yet to really believe that that's your thought process. There's a few out there that really do have that thought, and that's okay. I just tend to not see that that is the prevailing thought, as I don't care. So when it comes to money, almost everyone cares one way or another. So what are some other statistics? Money Magazine stated that it takes the average inheritor 19 days to buy a new car after they receive their inheritance. So within 19 days, your kids are going to be driving a brand new car that you did not.
Right.
All right. So now let's just take a quick moment and review what's happened. Number one, someone has lost someone that they deeply care about. At least that's going to be my assumption, is that we care about our parents. And I know that there are strained relationships out there. But for most individuals, whether the relationship is strained or it's very, very good, there is an emotional exchange in that event of life. It is one of the biggest events that we will go through, whether it's losing parents, losing spouses, losing children. Death is what we all experience at one time or another in our life's journey, and we all handle it very differently. But here's the scenario. I've just lost somebody that is important to me. Now, what is my state of mind and what is my emotional state at that exact time and moment? am I making really good sound decisions at that point in time? Mark, what do you think?
No, I think I've got a hurt heart and I want to be comforted. And so I'm going to do something to comfort myself, which is to go out and take a trip or buy a car or a motorcycle or... Mom would want me to have that.
Yeah, exactly. Or a lot of shoes or just whatever your thing is, right? And so in doing some of the research here, I found an article that I thought was really interesting is how I blew $250,000 and regret it. And it really was just the journey of a person receiving an inheritance, making emotionally unsound decisions in a time when they should have never been making financial decisions, and now with clarity, come back and say, oh, dang, I wish I wouldn't have done that. As a matter of fact, I have never had an inheritor come back to me and say, man, you know what? I am so glad that I blew that money when I did. It is always the opposite. It is always, I wish I would have not done it. I wish I would have had some boundaries that would have given me time to think and sort out exactly where I'm at. And most estate plans don't do that. Look, a will is just a check writing instrument. And if you've listened to this show at any period of time, you've heard me say that over and over. A beneficiary designation or a will is simply a check writing instrument. After everything is paid in the estate, we got to pay your last bills. We got to clear credit cards, got to pay hospitals if there was a hospital stay. So in other words, all of the taxes, everything has to be paid first. That's what we have to do through the system. But then once that's done, we can then take the next step of say, okay, what is the estate plan saying to do? Wills simply say, give it. Put it in the hands of the kids and let them have it. 6 months after we've lost a parent and then 19 days thereafter, we're buying new cars.
Right. Or a new house.
Yeah, or a house. And so, in other words, has an estate planner ever led you through the questions of what would it, if you pass money to your kids, what are the things that would be okay if the kids immediately did out of the gate and you would say, that's good, that's fine. Now, some people are already recoiling saying, but I don't want to control my kids after the grave. Well, you've controlled them all your life. Why stop now? Now, that's a partial joke, but it's partially not, which is God has given you these resources. God has given you the mandate of stewardship. And so my question is, why do we think that stewardship stops if I die? It is really God's design, in my opinion, as being a Christian plus an estate planner, to design something that is supposed to last for generations and not just simply be put to the side once I'm dead. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinners is stored up for the righteous. So how can I, as a man who is being a good steward, leave something for my children's children if I just simply leave it to my kids and say, knock yourself out, and there's no boundaries, no training, and my kids are ill-equipped to receive that, knowing my intent and knowing my vision over what God has given me? So as believers, it's my opinion that we actually have a biblical mandate to be stewards for a long period of time and not just during our lifetime. So in my opinion, and this is just a Paul Grant opinion, this is not a legal opinion, understand, so this is just you're getting me as a person, is that it is our mandate to make sure that we rebut the mentality that says, I'm dead, I don't care. Yes, you do. And so let's create a plan that actually fulfills your vision and assists your kids as God has put into your own heart.
Don't want to blow it when it comes to estate planning. Looking at that this week, the gap between the creator of a plan and those who are going to be coming behind and inheriting in the right way, if we can say that. If you need help with your estate planning and tax planning purposes, how do people get in touch with you, Paul Grant?
Head over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's opportunities to ask us questions, get in contact with me, and educational seminars that are constantly coming up and being updated there. So head on over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week, and looking at how to do some things that'll help your inheritors after you're gone. And Paul, very interesting that you really believe that even though you're gone, you do want to, not control, but you do want to still kind of have a say in what happens with your inheritors because you love them.
Yeah, that's right. So my girls are a little bit younger still, but even when I look at my parents who are fortunately still alive, and I'm in my 50s now, you know, I look at their heart's desire towards their own kids, and it's constantly the attitude of how do I help and how do I take care of my kids? At what point is just dropping money on somebody a way to help or a way to solve a solution? We used a couple scriptures. I'll use a couple other ones here if I can find my notes in good order. But now I'm not going to be able to find it as quickly as I want. They're all jumbled all over the place. So there it is. Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathers by labor shall increase." Now, that's the King James Version. So let's listen to the New Revised Standard. "Wealth hastily gotten." Does that sound like an inheritance?
Right.
"Shall dwindle." Is that your hope and your vision for what you leave behind to your kids? Do you just simply want them to waste it and or dwindle it very quickly? "But those who gather little by little will increase it." Now, that's not me. That's the Word of God. And I have a funny feeling that he knows a thing or two about humanity since, oh, he only created us. Right. And so, wealth hastily gotten shall dwindle. I think people can relate very well that a lottery winner that, all of a sudden that sudden money, so that is sitting within Proverbs 13:11. That 80% of lottery winners end up in bankruptcy. I read that stat last year in an article about wealth management. 80%. And what I am telling you as someone who watches families go through transitions, that the same mentality is found in inheritors. And so for us to take a hands-off approach, in my opinion, and what I see biblically, it just doesn't work. So the mentality that I'm not here and I don't care is, in my opinion, in direct conflict with the Word of God, which is that you're the steward. We are supposed to set up something that goes to our children's children. And so a UK article last year said that 40% of adults have already determined how they're going to spend their inheritance. So in other words, they're already thinking about it. What do they do? Well, they have fun with it. Okay, maybe some of what you leave behind, you want your kids to have fun with, or you want them to get out of debt, or you want them to be able to purchase a home, or you want them to go ahead and buy the car within 19 days. It's not a problem, because whose money is it? It's your money. And so therefore, I'm not here to tell you what you should do. My job is to discuss what are the financial training skills that your kids have, and are they ready to receive money, and is your plan ready to communicate your heart's desire towards them? Because I go back to something I said earlier, which is most children want to do what their parents wanted them to do. And so if you consistently communicate, I don't care, then what have we trained our children into thinking? Even if they're adults, what have we told them? If you don't care, then I don't care, and I'm just going to use it. But if we have a better expression, if we can communicate between the generations and begin to express, this would be my heart's desire. It's amazing how the next generation actually wants to honor those that have left with following what the plan says. For people who develop strong plans and have communicated with the next generation, my experience is that I get the inheritors that say, but mom and dad wanted me to do this, and so that's what I want to do. For those who use a will and just get a check, those words are never uttered. Mm-hmm. They're not uttered. And so this is the gap that we need to start closing. How do we begin to train and prepare the next generation to receive wealth? Well, number one, we have to change our mentality, which is that it's not just a hands-off approach. Estate planning is the final act of stewardship, in my opinion. And so let's be good stewards and let's have a plan. Here's one other aspect that I'll mention very quickly. It's actually a really, really big deal, which is in most marriages, what I find is that one of the spouses manages all the money. And if that individual passes away first, then it leaves the next, the surviving spouse in a disparaged opportunity because they have not developed the skills. It has nothing to do with intelligence. Hear me. This has nothing to do with intelligence of a surviving spouse or even of your kids. We all have different skills. We all have different talents. We can learn new skills and talents and develop strengths when we're taught. And so that's what the program at Planning with Purpose is about. That's what this whole show is about, is beginning the process of educating you so that you can leave a stronger and better plan that has a God-given, long-term kingdom vision purpose behind, instead of just simply writing a check. But that has to start with spouses first. At the network, it's a group I belong to nationally, we call it the empty chair syndrome, which is that the one person who developed the relationship with your financial advisor, made all the decisions, if that chair is empty, who's going to fill it? Mm. Most spouses change their financial advisor within 2 years after their spouse dies. As a matter of fact, over 50%.
Now, why would that be?
Well, because if I manage the money, then who is making the steps in building the relationship with the financial person? I am. And so now many spouses don't even go along to those financial meetings, mm-hmm. if they are not in the role of actually participating in the financial decisions. And if they do go, in my story, then I'm the one who created that relationship. It was never my wife's. Mm.
That happens a lot.
It happens over 50% of the time, actually.
Wow. Hmm.
Yes, it happens way too much. And so, therefore, once the one who does the money management in the marriage is now gone, the chair is empty, the surviving spouse is left without the skills and experience to actually make the decisions. And so, therefore, they go seeking for somebody because that wasn't their relationship to begin with. Mm. And so, one of the first things that I really want to encourage couples about is make sure finances is a couple issue.
Yeah.
Talk about your finances. Talk about investing decisions. Talk about the whys that we're doing things. If you're the one who's sitting down at your computer making all of the trades, buys, sells, and if you're the one who's going to the financial advisor on your own, I beg of you, stop it. Hmm. This should be a spouse cooperative thing. so that everyone is ready, because statistically, we will not die together. We're going to die one at a time. So therefore, one of the bigger gaps is that the surviving spouse is not prepared, let alone the next generation not being prepared. And so in the conversation then, what I really want to bring across is, number one, there is a gap of communication. The creators don't communicate with the next generation of what they want, but we can resolve that. We can resolve the communication and start making it a family plan, because it's my heart's absolute belief, which is God has a plan that is designed for your family and not just for you. He wants to give you a vision as the patriarch of how to build his kingdom in cooperation with him. And money is just a tool to do that. We can pass that to the next generation and begin to start developing things that are kingdom effective for long periods of time. But we need to engage. Number one, get your plan done. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. Check out our website. Get involved in an educational session. Bring spouses along. Make sure that they are participants. And as we go about the process, there's going to be opportunities in our system to make sure this becomes a family joint venture instead of just the creators having a document.
Don't want to have gaps in that plan. So if you want to shore up those gaps and get everybody on the same page, Paul Grant would love to help you with that. Always great information, Paul, of the Legacy and Faith Show. Again, legacyandfaith.com for more details.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.